Friday, 5 p.m. Congratulations, we made it through another one. Although I wish we could keep repeating some of these rather than have them constantly move us forward. Although moving through time is actually a very comfortable thing. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that this is time for American Hit Radio on WHPC 90.3. On Fridays, we call the show How Music Changed. And I guess my point is this. We have been covering the Kinks for, as of today, 36 weeks. So moving forward, it's almost like, wow, it's like moving through time and yet being stuck in it at the same time. Yet the reason that this series has taken so long in particular is because the Kinks were one of my latter-day joys in music history. It was a band that I learned to love because I missed them in their time.
Later in life.
I really did. I knew the hits. I knew what everybody else knew, but I was never really deep into any of their albums. And then by the time I basically crushed into, really late in life, in the 40s, and I had so many friends.
Wow, you really are a late bloomer to the Kinks.
Yes. I had so many friends who said, they're the best band that ever came out of England. And I'm like, get out. What? Rolling Stones? Who? Beatles? You got to be crazy. But I started.
Hi, this is Heidi Morales, Ryan, and I was really into the Kinks early on, comparatively speaking.
Yeah. I wish I could say the same. And I am obviously making up for lost time because I've gone incredibly deep. You're one of the people that basically helped me get there. My friend Russ Seeger is a huge influence on
Russ.
That. But anyway, this is why now here I am 35 hours covered into the band's history. And we are getting into the latter days. We're up to the mid-80s at this point in time. The album, actually, that we're about to cover is called, the hit single is called Do It Again. The album is called Word of Mouth, released in late November 1984. Now, it's also, I will also say, with this show, it's not the glory years. In fact, I think the previous three or four shows covered an era of significant greatness for the band.
Yes.
Late 1980. This is their 20th studio album in the same number of years since their existence, since they started in 64. Here it is. They're starting their third decade. And the band had proven themselves over the previous two to obviously be both diverse and consistent, making great music, changing styles to suit the times, and of course, the band following their own artistic desires, regardless of commercial whims, what they thought was going to make them popular, probably why I ended up missing them like a dope. But anyway, here is where you begin to hear the years start to take a bit of a toll. Ray is still writing great songs. Dave is still rocking as hard as he ever did. But there's the disconnect between the two of them really begins to creep into the music finally here. You can hear that they are not communicating the way that they ought to. Even the best songs can sound a little bit strained on this album. So this would be also the last album that the band recorded with Clive Davis and Arista Records. And that was a pretty darn good matchup, the way that it worked out for them for the previous three. But on this one, their manager thought that they'd be able to negotiate a better deal, and then they figured he'd set one label against another, and Arista wasn't willing to bargain, and then, poof, they kind of knew that the bloom was off the rose. And what ends up happening when you do that is the label that holds you isn't going to be that interested in promoting you if they know that they lost you. So that ended up having an effect on how this album was approached by them. But before we get into the album itself, we did play the band's previous album, State of Confusion, last week. And we were playing a bunch of B-sides, but I never got to the best one, my favorite bonus track from that era. So let's start with this song called Long Distance.
Prisoners of the motherland. Damn hotel is filled. time now. I think I'll make a call. Hello, long distance. Call a long distance. You sound so close, but you're such a long way from home. You're such a long way.
Not even released, and it should have been a hit.
Absolutely.
The song's called Long Distance. Such a shame, too, because now we, like I said, we hit the album Word of Mouth. And the opening track is the lead-off single from the album called Do It Again. And Ray says this about the song. I think it applies to everybody who gets up in the morning and has to go out and do their job. Sometimes it's not great being on tour. It's a cliche now, but everybody knows what happens on the road. You have very little sleep. I usually go to sleep around 4 or 5 o'clock, and then I have to get up at 8 or 9, get a plane, and go somewhere else and play. When the knock comes on the door, I know I've got to get up. It's not just in my job. People who are electricians and work in Woolworths have to do it. The problem is, when you hear the song Do It Again, in context of the album, it sounded like what the band was saying, this is album number 20, we got to do it again. And in that sense, it didn't work. The other factor is, it's a hard rock song. And the band, up until this point, their previous singles were not really hard rock. They were very pop and very pretty and thoughtful. This seemed to basically try to basically do something else, a little bit maybe overly commercial. Anyway, decide for yourself. Here's Do It Again.
Standing in the middle of nowhere, wondering how to begin. Lost between tomorrow and yesterday, between now and then. And now we're back where we started.
Oh.
That is the title track from the album, Word of Mouth. I think the phrase I would use for that track is heavy MOR rock, like heavy middle of the road rock, you know?
Okay, yes, bombastic.
And, yeah, and it basically, and I think that's exactly what my, you know, how I fault this album, because it was sort of like, again, the band not playing to their own strong points. Playing like trying, when you show that you're trying too hard, it ends up hurting a little bit. The album didn't do poorly. It sold at number 40, at 57, but it was a disappointment compared to their previous two albums, and it didn't yield any top 40 hits, which, like, you know, Do It Again was as close as they came to that. So it was basically there were cracks at the seams. We'll get into the reasons why as we go through it. But here's one. This next track is called Good Day, another, you know, Ray song, a great song. But the song has a drum machine instead of Mick Avery. Now, the reason is that, you know, the drummer, Mick Avery, and Ray's brother, Dave, who used to be best friends, had just gotten crazier and crazier. I mean, the one tried to kill the other back in the 60s, but that was like legend. Now it's to the point where it was just getting old, and Dave wanted him kicked out of the band, and Mick was not interested in showing up and fighting, and the whole thing got stupid, and Ray got sick of it and said, screw it, I'm just going to use a drum machine on this song. And obviously, that's gonna hurt in terms of what your artistic output is, you know. Especially if you're calling him a member of the band and he doesn't show up to the sessions, either because he's not invited or because you don't want him. It was released as a single in Britain, and guess what happened?
Nothing.
Exactly. Here's Good Day.
Decisions looming ahead. The sun is out, but the room is so gray. So much confusion heading my way. Get positive, try to be gay. News of the world, tea and biscuits in bed. The headline said that Diana is dead. She couldn't act much, but she put on a show. She always smiled even when she felt low. I used to fancy her a long time ago. So today, there's got to be a good day. Today, it's gonna be a good day. Today, it's gonna be. And I can't find my shoes. It's no surprise that I'm singing the blues. So many holes in my life still to mend. And someone just said that the world's gonna end. Survival is my only aim. I call my friends as if any remain. Who was that girl who used to be my flame? I'll call her if I could remember her name. So today, it's gonna be a good day, a good day, a good day.
all the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now. All the wars that were won or lost somehow don't seem to matter very much anymore. All the lies we were told, all the lives of the people running round their castles are burned. Oh, I see change, but inside we're the same as we ever were.
Dave Davies' track called Living on a Thin Line. Some critics believe that that's one of Dave's greatest songs. I do too. It's a really well-written song by Dave.
I'm surprised Ray didn't volunteer to sing that one.
Dave wanted him to. Dave wrote it for him to sing and presented it to him. And Ray was like, yeah, thanks, no thanks. Which is, it's a shame. But then again, you know, Dave really does pull it off nicely. It's one of the better songs on the album. There's two songs that he actually wrote for this record. Unfortunately for him, though, again, you know, he wrote the song about old England disappearing. Now, Ray had been writing songs about that for 20 years, right? About him being a man out of time and, you know, oh, he misses old England. But that's what Living on a Thin Line is more or less doing. But in Dave's case, the song ended up getting hijacked by the anti-immigration people who started using that to basically say that the country was being taken over by foreigners. They had to take videos off of YouTube and all sorts of things because the song got grossly misinterpreted. Bit of a drag. But good song, Dave. All right, let's keep going through it. Two more tracks. We'll play the last song that would have been on side one if you had the vinyl, and the first song on side two, starting with Sold Me Out.
Yeah.
Guilty, which is Dave Davies' second song on the album after Living on a Thin Line. That's him singing that track as well. A bit more when you hear those three tracks in a row, Guilty, Massive Reductions, Sold Out. Maybe you, I don't know, this is where I was starting to get listener fatigue. It's this MOR rock thing that's happening here. Dave's production, and it's like, that's not, you know, not what I'm used to from this band. The fact is, like, I mean, 1984 was just a cruel year for classic rockers. This, you know, a lot of Brit rock bands began to, you know, almost inexplicably started to fade around the same time. The Stones fell into the exact same trap around 1984. The Who as well. It was just, time was up. Things were changing. 1984 was not a good year for music in general. So the classic rockers who were great at it, you know, they have to learn how to be bad to fit in. It's a weird concept, but that's what it was about.
There was a lot of junk happening.
There was. And it's almost like they were trying to make concessions to it because they were saying,
all the big wigs at the executive level
forced them to do it.
We're trying to tell them, hey, this is what's cool.
Do what's working. Here's two more songs that maybe will make that point or not. The first one is called Too Hot.
Back in the gymnasium, they're working out and body popping. It's gotta stop because it's getting too hot. Cool it down because it's getting too hot. It's getting crazy going over the top. Too hot, too hot, too hot, too hot. All the kids are working out, they're on the way to fame. But it's gonna bust the vein. Tourists everywhere blocking up the streets. My ice cream cone just melting in the heat. And while I do my best to stop my raspy nipples slopping, back in the gymnasium they're working out and body popping. It's gotta stop because it's getting too hot. The muscle. Julian's over budget, now he's really got to hustle. And Sarah Jane's living on bad takeaways and working as a stripper on a school holiday. Sleazy town gets me down, wants some peace and quiet. The police are everywhere like there's gonna be a riot. But back in the gymnasium, they're training for a war. Think of all the fun we had in 1984. It's gotta stop because it's getting too hot. Too hot, too hot, too hot, too hot, too hot.
Have you seen this face? Does it ring a bell? Does it strike a chord somewhere in your mind? And there's a big reward if you help us solve this crime. And if you recognize his face, down have you seen this face? Dig deep in your mind. Has anybody seen that little girl of mine? She was always a rover, but I'm afraid to say she's strayed too far this time. Now I'm sitting at home, staring at the wall, waiting for that missing person to call, waiting for the message I'm dreading. Waiting to confirm my darkness fear. She's a missing person. I wish I could see all of the places she might be. Maybe I stop her from being free. Maybe there was something missing in me. Wherever she is, I hope she's doing fine. But I wish that she would phone or drop us a line. Till then I've got nothing to ease my mind, and I'm thinking about her all the time.
All right, then. Missing persons. So much going wrong for the band around this time. I mean, if you think about it, first of all, Ray's working on a solo project, a solo film project called Return to Waterloo that Dave wants nothing to do with. So there's that rift. Of course, I've already mentioned the rift between Dave and Mick Avery, with Mick Avery being essentially quitting the band in the midst of this album, number two. And of course, Ray's marriage to Chrissy Hynde is falling apart around this time, which probably is what the inspiration for that song is, Missing Persons. So it explains a lot. And this next song, Summer's Gone, again, the fractious bit. Living on a Thin Line, Dave's song probably should have been the second single, but nobody was listening to what Dave had to say, and instead this song came out as the second single. It went nowhere, anywhere. It's called Summer's Gone.
Just flew away.
And there, but for one track, we heard the entire album called Word of Mouth, released by the Kinks, their 20th album, released in 1984, with a bonus track at the very beginning. We've got one track left that's called Going Solo, which I believe, amid such fractious times, might have even been a little bit Freudian when Ray wrote this, with everybody going their own way. This is how the album ends. Not a good sign with a song called Going Solo. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week. Have a great holiday. Bye-bye.
Solo.